This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Negotiations continue over a way to feed poor people in downtown Raleigh. More than 100 people met last night to discuss options. The issue stems from an August incident nicknamed Biscuit Gate, where Raleigh police in Moore Square threatened volunteers with arrest for handing out food. A recent disclosure of emails of Raleigh city officials raises questions about the ultimate goals of city administrators. Colin Campbell's a reporter for the News and Observer. He's been following the story and joins us now. Hello, Colin.
Hello, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Thanks for coming back. And I'd like you to back up and tell us what happened. You'll have to give us kind of the backstory and remind us of Biscuit Gate and how this all got started.
Yeah, this all started in late August, one Saturday morning when a number of the groups were out there in Moore Square, a couple different charities feeding the various homeless and indigent folks that hang out in that part of town. And apparently they were talked to by some police officers who told them, hey, you know, this is against a city ordinance. And according to these groups, they were threatened with arrest if they didn't comply and move to another location. The city has at no point actually admitted that there was any threats to arrest. They said at one point that there was the police interaction was perceived as a threat to arrest by some of the groups, but they haven't admitted that the threats were made or that made any apologies for what happened. But the end result was that the city council got into it. They've suspended the enforcement of this ordinance for the next few months while this process goes on, and they sort of figure out the long-term solution in that process. And last night's meeting was the first step in that, where they brought in about 100 or so folks from different charities here and other people in the community who are just interested in solving the issue to discuss what the alternatives to feeding in Moore Square would be. But the meeting in and of itself was even somewhat controversial in that a couple of the groups were upset that the city's focus is on finding alternatives to Moore Square when they're perfectly happy staying there and sort of continuing with the status quo as it stands. So that's sort of been the big point of contention at this point in the process.
Yeah, and it's interesting because in the immediate aftermath of the first perceived arrest threat, a lot of publicity. People were, you know, concerned about what was going on in Moore Square. Mayor McFarland and others on the city council said right away, "No, wait, we're not trying to push people out. We just need to find a rational way to cope with this problem. Sorry for the confusion." But then there were some emails that have been are available now. The NNO publicized some of them. Talk about what those emails said and how they fueled some of the controversy last night at the meeting.
Yeah, well, I'd done shortly after this became a news story, I did a sort of the standard email records request to find out what was being said among city staffers ahead of what happened in Moore Square. So I requested emails for a two-month period, July and August, with anything that included the search term Moore Square from about five or six different top city employees, from the police chief, city manager, parks and recreation director, that sort of thing. And when I got the records back, what I found was that starting as early as February, there was an effort initially to trespass individuals who were charged with crimes. So if you're in Moore Square and you're charged with, say, public urination, drug violations, assault, something of that nature, the Parks Department could then move to have you banned from both Moore Square but also the neighboring bus station and pretty much all of the City of Raleigh Parks property, so you wouldn't be allowed to come back based purely on your criminal charges. So that effort was approved in February. It's unclear whether anyone was actually banned from the park under that. And then coming more recently in July, we see a number of emails where some of the folks in the Parks Department and a couple other city departments were looking for legal advice about what sort of ordinances they could use to move some of these feedings out of the park. They were trying to figure out, you know, can we stop people from handing out food on the sidewalks? Do they have to have tables before we can stop them? Or does any sort of food distribution qualify as being unlawful under the ordinances? And the attorneys pretty much gave them the go-ahead. So then you start to see a few emails in early August from police officers saying, you know, look, we've talked to these people, we've told them what the ordinances were, and they've got them to move somewhere else. That's where the emails actually drop off, is about August 11th, which is two weeks or so before the big incident when this became sort of a national media story. And I've been working with the city staff to try to figure out why there are no emails included in my request from that period. They say that there's perhaps a computer glitch, or perhaps there aren't any emails that match the search terms. I find that a little bit hard to believe, in that obviously it's been a huge topic of discussion in the weeks leading up to that crackdown and certainly the weeks after. So I suspect there's some email traffic, and we're hoping to get a hold of that soon. But we published that on Sunday in the paper, and a lot of the groups were really upset by what they read. because particularly Love Wins Ministries, which has sort of been the charity at the center of this whole thing, actually met with some of the people whose emails are quoted in my story the prior week, and they apparently told Love Wins, you know, look, sorry guys, we had no idea how this came about. We don't know what happened here, but we want to work with you from here on out to find the final solution. And then Love Wins sees these emails that show these people were involved in this process from fairly early on, and they were pretty upset, and they were voicing that anger at the public hearing last night.
And some of those earlier emails suggest that there are problems with repeat offenders and some crime in the area, but that all has to do with some of the stuff happening in the bus station and in the park, but not related to the feeding or to any of the charitable efforts to bring food to people who are hungry. Those are two separate incidents, and when they get tied together in the same effort, that's when the charities began to wonder if there wasn't some ulterior motive, that is, to get poor people out of Moore Square.
Yeah, and that's the concern, particularly given that there's a plan. They don't know exactly when it's going to start now because there's a funding issue, but there's a goal to renovate the entire square to make it a more friendly place to hang out, a better place to host events, that sort of thing. So the square is actually going to be closed for a period of time for construction. They're not sure when that's going to start. But part of the impetus for some of these groups is to try to find another location that will work during that construction period. But then there's also the concern that, given that there's no timeline on this construction, and you know people are wondering why the hurry. Is this an effort to move these people out so this can be a place that's, you know, you're less likely to run into homeless people when you come downtown to eat at a nice restaurant, or you're thinking about moving into one of the new apartments that's going up a few blocks away? That's sort of the big concern in this, and the city has tried to tamp down that concern and saying, you know, look, we just want to find a solution that works for everybody, that can accommodate you know, different types of people that want to use the space. But certainly like you said, the two incidents coming all in the same year sort of suggest there may be some other things. One of the emails even referred to discussions very cryptically that said, I think he quoted, people who are in a position to make things happen, but the person writing the email didn't specify who was actually the people who were in a position to make things happen and wanting to do something about this. But there's certainly been sort of accumulation of the evidence and information that would allow them to make some moves in that department in August.
And all of this comes while the development is really booming in Raleigh, and there's a lot of money coming in, and of course at a time when the people who are running the city want to encourage and not discourage development. All of that is happening at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really, you know, the economy is getting back on track. So a lot of the building projects downtown, there's one sort of at the south end of Fayetteville Street that's going to be a pretty big office tower. It's been on hold for at least 4 or 5 years now. And then there's the apartment complex on what's for years been a completely vacant single block area, one block east of Moore Square. So that's whole east side of Moore Square, which has sort of been the focal point for these feedings, given that the Salvation Army used to be there, the Raleigh Rescue Mission is located over there, is now going to be a little bit more of an area for development, whereas in the past, if you're going to Moore Square, you might go to the Kids Museum, you might go to some of the restaurants on the west side, but there wasn't really much reason for you to cross the square. Now it's pretty much going to surround that that one block city park in downtown.
Of course, what developers always say is the development is good for the city. Everybody benefits when these new developments come in. And the complaint, obviously, from these charities who are helping the poorest among us is, yeah, but you're going to hide a whole big part of our population and you're not doing anything to solve that problem. In fact, all you're doing is sweeping it under the rug. And that really doesn't solve anything with all this money that's coming in from these developments.
And that's also the concern is particularly the folks in Southeast Raleigh, which is one of the city's poorer neighborhoods as it stands, are concerned that if they push the poor out of downtown or they have some policies that discourage homeless or others from being in Moore Square or anywhere downtown, they're going to move a few blocks east and be in Southeast Raleigh, an area that already has its share of problems and its share of, you know, poverty-related services that are there. So they're hoping that the city can find a way that doesn't just move the burden to a less well-off neighborhood of the city.
Move it somewhere else and out of sight where you don't necessarily have to deal with it. Last night's meeting, not really a city council meeting. In fact, it was a public hearing called by the Parks and Rec Department. Tell us what it looked like.
Well, it was held at the Marbles Kids Museum, which in itself was a bit of a controversial location because the director of the museum has spoken out about some concerns that she had for patrons of the museum who use the square. So some of the groups were upset that they had to go there for the meeting, but it was led by the Parks and Rec Department. They grouped everybody into small groups, about 8 or 10 people, had about 4 questions they wanted to ask about, what does the ideal location look like for you guys to do the food handouts? So, what are the sort of the infrastructure things you need? A lot of them said, we would like to see bathrooms, some sort of real kitchen to use, hand washing facilities, decent trash collection, that sort of thing. But the whole thing was pretty much run by city staff members. The city council, which will ultimately make the final decision come November when the recommendations from this whole process come out, they were not there because this meeting was scheduled, I believe it was scheduled after another forum was put on the calendar for last night, and that was a city council candidates forum, which meant all but one city council member was over at the candidates forum and was unable to attend the meeting last night. But pretty much every city staff member from the police department on up to the city manager were all present last night and listening to what folks had to say.
I've got about 20 seconds left. Was there a temporary solution from last night's meeting?
Nothing yet. The consensus seems to be most of these groups want to stay at or near Moore Square, and if not at Moore Square, they want to stay downtown, and they want to have some better facilities. So we'll see what comes of that from there. There'll be more meetings between now and November before a final decision gets made.
Colin, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Colin Campbell, a reporter for the News and Observer. On the state of things, coming up next, the National Guard in North Carolina decides to recognize same-sex marriages. We will talk about that on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.